this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord, Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and, of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love. Well, it's a podcast that looks at the fabric of our being through the lenses of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. Yeah, that's right. Armenian Orthodoxy today. We call it Armedoxy. And it's part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and brought to you by the cool folks at Apostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an expanding universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Oh, I know today is no day to be running or walking in some parts of the country. I mean, it is scorching. It is scorching hot in the middle part of the United States. I saw news reports. I mean, I've been feeling it too. It's that heat and that humidity. My heart goes out to all of you listening, especially in Oklahoma, was it? And Arkansas. And God bless you all. Give you the strength. It is no fun. I've lived through some of that heat and that humidity. What are we talking, in the 110s? I saw Arkansas 115 today. Fahrenheit, of course. Celsius, you'd be off the scale. You'd be fried right now. But listen, please do take care of yourself. We're giving you an hour today to cool down, although the topics might be a little hot, but it's a good time to just kind of like retreat someplace. Usually get up to buy some bricks. You know, I noticed that my son's living in Arizona, and the housing there, they make use of a lot of concrete, of a lot of bricks, and that entire southwest area. It's very interesting. At first you look at it and you think that maybe this is just the design, the architecture of the area, but actually there's such a practical reason for it. I mean, have you ever just laid down on some tile, on some concrete slabs that are in the shade, and you know, it just takes away the heat. So whatever it takes out there, you know, if you have to find a fire hydrant, if you have to find some fans, air conditioning, open up the refrigerator, just please do stay cool. Do take care of yourself. Now, speaking of the middle of the country, I got to tell you that I've been very pleasantly pleased last couple weeks. I've had the opportunity to see our good friend, Bedros Malekian. He is back from Indiana. And I was just kind of surprised a couple Sundays ago. I turned to give a blessing during the service in Glendale, and there he was with his family, and didn't get a chance to talk to him. But last Sunday we did. I said, Bedros, what are you doing? Back from Indiana, so good to see you. And of course, he is a professor in Indiana. He's teaching at the Wesleyan University. And I said, welcome back from Indiana. He says, well, not only Indiana, but from Armenia, from Russia. I said, what's going on? Well, actually, he took 11 American students from Indiana and 3 faculty members from the university to Armenia. And they visited for some of them 6 weeks, from May 7th through June 19th, for some really life-changing experiences. I mean, if you know the work that he does and how he teaches, you know what I'm talking about. And the eyes of these American students were open to the Armenian genocide, the Armenian nation, the region, and most importantly, the Armenian Apostolic Church. I mean, here's a bunch of people coming in from Indiana, all of a sudden coming face to face with this ancient faith, with this ancient church. And they met with leaders in Armenia, foreign policy makers in U.S. in the former Soviet Union. And anyway, I invited him to speak at the Youth Ministry Center, and I am going to invite you, because we're going to try to see if we can get a broadcast going that day. I want you to mark your calendar. That is August 10th. It's a Wednesday evening. And those of you who have been following our Bible studies know that it's a regular evening for Bible study. We are on summer break, but having Bedros with us, I thought it'd be a nice opportunity to kind of catch up with all of you, our listeners and followers, and also with give him an opportunity to express what happened. I mean, this is fascinating. This is fascinating. I mean, it's one thing, you know, so many times we work with Armenian kids who go back to Armenia for the first time in their lives and the awakening that they have. But here are some people from Indiana, completely isolated from Armenia. Some of them, I would imagine, never knew what an Armenian was, or maybe vaguely knew a bit of history about Armenian. But here they are on Armenian soil, coming face to face with the most ancient Armenian church, with the most ancient expression of Christianity. It's going to be wild. I want to invite you. That's August 10th. It's a Wednesday evening. We'll start at 7:30 Pacific time. We will definitely get that streaming up on our Ustream channel, and it'll be a good chance to kick off. We're going to be starting up Bible studies, our Questions in Faith, in September, so there's still a few more weeks for that, but do join us on August 10th, Wednesday evening. And of course, we'll put a link on our show notes. You won't want to miss it. Well, what's going on today? There are a lot of things we want to talk about. You know, we are in this very unique state on the Armenian church calendar. It doesn't happen too often, but it does happen this year. We just finished a major feast day of the Armenian church last Sunday, and this Sunday is the Paraginton, the day of good living for the next major feast day, which is the Assumption of the Holy and Blessed Virgin Mary. So last week was Transfiguration, and in a couple weeks we have the Feast of Assumption. So it's kind of nice. We're what's the expression? How should we say it? We are feast day hopping, right? You do party hopping, party jumping, whatever the expression may be. We are just going from feast day to feast day. That's pretty cool. Actually, I think it's really neat. We get a chance to really heighten our awareness of what our faith is all about. So the five major feast days. First one, of course, in the year is the Nativity. Then we have Easter, two on both sides of Jesus's life. And then we have the Transfiguration, which we celebrated last Sunday. That is the appearance, that unique perspective, that unique opportunity to witness and share in Christ's divinity. And then we have two others that are coming up. One is, of course, the Assumption, which we just mentioned, next Sunday. That's on the 14th this year. Actually, the Western Church, I believe the Orthodox Eastern Church, they all celebrate it on August 15th. The Armenian Church celebrates it on the Sunday closest to August 15th. A little difference in marking, but of course it's the same feast. We'll be talking about that more in detail next week. And then in September we have the fall. The beginning of fall is marked with the elevation of the Holy Cross, the fifth major feast day of the year. So these feast days in the Armenian Church are very special because each of them points in a very special way to God's redemptive power, of how God interacts with us, and in that interaction gives us salvation from our sins, from our lives, from our being, from our humanity, and an opportunity to touch the divinity. In Armenian, we have this very beautiful expression in the Armenian Church. It's called Astvats Martatsav, որ մարդ աստվածանա. A literal translation of it is that God became man so that man can become God. But think of it in this sense. God took on human form and he gave us an opportunity, you and me, an opportunity to explore, to touch the divine. That's fantastic. That's your ability to go beyond the self, to rise from your humanity. And that's a very unique relationship that God sets up with us and allows us to explore through our faith, through our Christian faith. So these feast days really give us an opportunity to really connect with that divinity. And like I said, we're in between two major feast days. One was last week and the one is next week, the Transfiguration and the Assumption Feast. So we're going to be talking about a little bit about the Assumption. I did throw out at you last week, I said, what is your preference? Thank you. So many of you responded and said that, okay, we want to explore the church. We want to explore some of the institutional issues. And maybe as a prelude, we could talk a little bit about that in the context of the Assumption Feast. So we're going to do that in just a bit, because I got to tell you, if our faith can't be applied to what's going on in our lives every day, then it's just something that we wind up on Sundays and kind of just like use it occasionally. But faith has to interact, has to be able to define who we are as people. I mean, even little things that you may think are little things have big ramifications within the spiritual world. For instance, the news coming out of London, the story about Julie Roberts. I want to talk about that in a few minutes because I think the implications are many. It's about self-worth. It's about who we what we're trying to teach to our children. So that's coming up. I want to put that all in the context of women's issues, especially around the Assumption Feast as we focus in on St. Mary. And we'll be going there in just a few minutes. But did you see the news coming out from the courtrooms on this Warren Jeffs? Wow. Just bizarre, bizarre, bizarre. Here is a leader of the LDS, the Latter-day Saints Church. Can't even put Jesus Christ in the context of that. It offends me that they use the name of Jesus Christ in the context of Mormonism. And there you have it. He is defending himself on polygamy charges, and most repulsive is that he's trying to defend himself of the rape of a 12-year-old child. And, you know, there's certain things that just you cannot accept. And this trial is really something else, because he is now defending himself. And it really like pushes some of the limits of the justice system, but at the same time, it has to make you and I question, really, what are the limits of faith? At what point do you say that, you know, during one of his statements that he make, one of the absurd statements that he made, he comes out and he says, God's law supersedes man's law. Well, that sounds good. That sounds cute. And that sounds something that, you know, I could see a lot of fundamentalists. I could see a lot of people, actually. I shouldn't even say fundamentalists. A lot of people saying, yeah, that's true. God's laws supersede men's law. But where do you find out what God's laws are? What are you talking about? Now, Jesus Christ gives you that straight out, what is God's laws? In fact, that's what came out of the Transfiguration, right? In between the law and the prophets. Listen to the podcast last week, because I gave you a unique perspective on how to view that. Between Moses and Elijah stands Jesus Christ. And the only law that he has is love one another. Okay, so that love, now listen to how important this is. You can interpret that love in many ways, and some people take that and they abuse it rather than the purity. The only way you can interpret it in the Christian context is by the example that Christ gives. His example is complete devotion, complete sacrifice for the ones he loves. Are you willing to sacrifice? Or are you asking others to sacrifice for you? If you are, that's not the Christian understanding of love. Love means you sacrifice yourself for the others, for the common good, for the whole. So again, we get up to this interpretation. The interpretation in an Armenian Orthodox sense is very easy. It's the same interpretation that we had at the beginning of time. It's giving of yourself. It's what put everything in motion. It's what this created universe is all about. God caring and God loving so much. It's the reason why God takes form. It's the reason why Jesus Christ is the personification. He is love incarnate. Every action that he does is built out of love, and it comes out of love. And at the end of it, there is love. That's why love endures. Love always remains. And so we see that it just makes sense when he says, I am with you till the end of the ages. Of course, love is with us until the end of the ages. And it is so beautiful. And you can't take this and distort it for your own means, okay? The minute it starts serving your own personal means, you've lost it. You've lost it. It's like Jesus standing on the cross and saying, okay, hold it. Don't want to do this anymore. Remember the Nicholas Kazantzakis, Last Temptation of Christ? Okay, stop. Can't do it anymore. No, it's the complete sacrifice. It's going for it all. Anyway, lots to talk about. We do start off each show with a song of the day, and I promise we'll come back and talk some more. Lots to talk about. How about for right now? Let's listen to the song of the day. Here is Shushan Petrosyan. Special one I picked for you. Shusham Petrosyan, that is off of her Tebi Yergir album. We will put a link on our show notes. You do want to check out some good music by this great artist. Shusham Petrosyan is her name. Well, we are going to continue on some thoughts and some comments about women's issues. You say, well, what's going on? Isn't it St. Mary? Well, you know, here's the thing. This is how I look at it. And I threw this out at you last week. Do we talk about the institution or do we talk about what's important in that institution? Unfortunately, what we're finding, and a lot of the email that I received this week was about the institutional issues, in particular some of the things that are going on within the Armenian Church. And I do feel for you. And one of the, well, one of the ways we did start off this program was to really sift through the institution, kind of peel away some of the trappings of the institution. You know, like, you know, I gotta admit it, even for myself, and I'm sure for many of you, I speak in the same, I'm sure I speak for a lot of you, that when you get into an Armenian church, there's a lot of trappings that really get you. They do pull you. I mean, even when you go to the simplest of divine liturgies and you hear the jingles, you see the smoke, and there is something that attracts you to that, and the melodies coming from above. But will that attract you for the sake of the attraction, or does that attract you and bring you to a oneness with Christ? And that oneness with Christ is at the bottom of all of that trappings. So there's a reason why we do all of this. There's a reason for the divine liturgy. There's a reason why we prepare the Holy Eucharist, the communion. There's a reason why we have the five major feast days. There's a reason why we focus on the Assumption of Saint Mary. It's all to bring us back to that one focus, that Jesus Christ is in the center. Much like we explored last week in the Transfiguration Feast, amidst the laws and the prophets, there is only one. There is only one divinity. And God tells us, listen, this is it. This is what you've got to listen to. And so it's great that you have all of these laws. It's great that you want to discuss prophecy. But the purpose of those laws, the purpose of these prophecies is one. And it centers on the person of Jesus Christ, God incarnate, love incarnate. And that one message, the very simple message, love one another as I have loved you. How has he loved us? He has sacrificed for us. So love one another by sacrificing. Love even your enemies, the most difficult of commandments. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And so we've been given this commandment, and we've been given this very awesome responsibility. And how do you step up to it? Well, you need means, you need method. And one of the ways, of course, is that the church provides is through its liturgies, through its prayers, through its many rituals. But they all have purpose. There is a reason for these things. And I don't care what you are. We're talking about the Armenian church in this case, but any institution, it has to have a purpose. It has to have a mission. And it has to be mission-driven. Otherwise, you lose contact. You lose understanding. You lose context, right? That's first and foremost. But you lose that understanding, and once you lose that understanding, you break off. That's why many times people will come to me and they'll say, well, we don't understand what the Armenian Church does because of the language issues. It's not about language. It's about understanding with your heart. It's not with your ears. It's not with your mind. It's understanding with your heart. What is the purpose of this? The purpose of this service is to bring you closer to God, is to allow you to participate in the divine nature. It's an opportunity to allow you to forget your humanity. And I'll go out there to say this. It's really the purpose of all true religion. It's to raise you from your humanity and put you in touch with the divine. And that's why when a religion fails to do this, it's not really a religion. It's basically a cult. It's basically some kind of understanding. It's some kind of man-made rules. But really, religion should raise you from your humanity and allow you to glimpse, at least glimpse, but even better, to touch that divinity, that divine. And so I come down on people who set up all these rules and say it's about we're better than them. You know, this is what it's about. No, it comes down to a very simple thing that God said from the very beginning. Love one another. And in that love, you will understand what it means to touch the divine. St. John says it so beautifully. You can't say I love God who you don't see, when you don't love your neighbor who you do see. So begin with the easy things. People always come up to me, well, I can't love. You know, how can we love the Arabs? How can we love the people who were terrorists and come and they crashed their planes into our building? Okay, fine. Don't love them today. Start off, how can you love your brother? How can you love your neighbor? Start off on little things. Don't get overwhelmed, okay? Don't look to solve the entire world situation, okay? That will come if you can start off with the small steps of loving one another. And that's why if you look at Scripture, if you look at the examples that our Holy Church gives us, it's always these small steps. The smallest of steps is St. Mary. Because here is St. Mary, the youngest of all the saints. They say she was 15, 16 years old. She was betrothed. She was in a relationship with this man, Joseph. I don't know for what reason they claim that he was an older guy. I haven't seen the proof of that, but somewhere along the way, there's proof they say that he was an older man. And all of a sudden, she gets this call from the angel who says, Mary, Ken, can you do something with my voice? Okay. Mary, this is the angel talking to you. You are going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit and you shall bear the Son of God. Thank you. Cecil B. DeMille would be proud of you. Well, you get the idea. I mean, it was something very special. The angel talking to Mary. And there is no reason for Mary to say yes to this angel. I mean, what are you talking about? Nobody gets pregnant. I haven't even known a man, she says. The angel says, you will be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And here's the catcher. Here's why this is so important, why I'm saying it's the small steps. This young little girl answers the angel by saying emphatically, yes, let it be to me according to your will. Despite knowing the consequences, she knows what's the consequences for being pregnant without a husband, without marriage, without the marriage vow. It's an instant death warrant. It's like saying, okay, I want to die. And it's not just only being up for a capital offense. I mean, you don't just go to an electric chair and like we're talking about 2011 where they inject you with some kind of a poison that puts you out in a few seconds. And it's not supposed to be cruel and unusual. In fact, in that time, it was cruel and unusual death. They would stone you. They'd drag you out in the middle of the courtyard and humiliate you in front of everybody, and they would stone you. And here is Mary being offered this opportunity to be stoned in public, to be able to be martyred in front of everyone. And she's 15 years old, 16 years old. And easily, if she said, hey, no, sorry, why don't you wait till I get married? Or why don't you hold out? I can't deal with this right now. You know, I don't feel like that. Nobody would blame her. You know, nobody would blame her. But instead, here's the important thing. She says, let it be to me according to your will. Not my will, but God's will. And this is really the key here, okay? It's God's will that has to win out at the end. And this is what sets Mary apart from everyone else. You see, the saints give us a glimpse of what we can do, of how we can rise from our humanity and touch the divine. That's why saints are so important in the church. They are people like you and me. They have flaws. They sin. They have doubts. everything. You know, you can be people, especially the Protestants, are really quick to say, you don't need saints. You know, look at Jesus Christ. Yes, look at Jesus Christ. He's perfect. That's the problem. How can I relate to somebody who is perfect? I can't relate to him on that level. I could be instructed by him. I could understand what he's saying. But in reality, I'm far from that. I can't do that. I have real problems. I have difficulties. I have sins that are taking me away. And I'm not talking about I'm out there killing people. No, the sins are I have hatred. Yes, you and I, we carry hatred. We have little seeds within our hearts. We have little cancers that are growing inside of us. We have envy. We have jealousy. We have gluttony. We have lust. And all of these things are just festering inside of us. And this is why it's so important to put them in check and to realize that, yes, those are our sins, but we can rise from our humanity. And okay, so by rising, like St. Mary, you look at that example of the saint. Despite the consequences, despite the punishment, she says, let it be to me according to your will. And she bears Jesus Christ. Now, there are some of you, and many people, will say that, okay, if God spoke to me, if I had that voice, not the Ken-enhanced voice, but the real voice, that spoke to me and said that, yes, I'm asking you to bear the Son of God, I would say, yes, I would do it. Yes, if I felt like the angel was talking to me, I would say yes to, despite the consequences. Okay, that's fine. Now, pull yourself out of history, because the challenge that was given to Mary is a challenge that is given to you today. It's not about bearing Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. It's about bearing Jesus Christ today. That's the challenge of the Christian today. You see, Jesus Christ wants to be born from you and I today. That's how simple this story is. Christ wants to be born from you and me. Love needs to be born from you and me. Wants us to be the bearers of Christ, the bearers of love. Saint Mary in the Armenian Church, we call her Astvazadzin, the bearer, the mother of God. What is God? Saint John tells us God is love. The bearer of love. You and I are called to that. That same ministry that St. Mary was called to. Can you bear love today? I want love to be born inside of you. And I'm not talking about giant things. I'm not talking about getting out there and bringing about world peace, but taking the first step to world peace by bringing about peace within your family, within your neighborhood, with your neighbors, with your brothers and your sisters, with your family. Okay, if you could do that, then we'll start talking about bigger things. And that's how simple it is. Saint Mary said yes to God, despite the consequences, despite how difficult it is, despite even a stoning. And I know that in your lives, saying yes to God is just as difficult, because it means being uncomfortable. It means spreading yourself thin. It means extending yourself to places that you may not want to extend yourself. It may mean that you even get a few rocks thrown at you. But in the end, it's God's will that has to win. And once that wins, you realize that you have elevated yourself. You have gone from the humanity that you're living in to the godliness, to the divine, and you're touching that divine. You are sharing in that divinity. And that's what this is all about. The Feast of Saint Mary is next week. This week we prepare ourselves. This Sunday is called the Padaginton. It's the day of good living. And we have a week of preparation for St. Mary. I'm going to invite you to do some homework this week. Look at St. Mary. Read the stories in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. The story of how the Virgin Mary said yes to the will of God. Think in your own lives the many ways that God is asking you every single day to bring his presence in this world. What are you doing to bring his presence, to make God's love real in your lives and in the lives of the people that you touch every day? you're going to find that there's many opportunities that we miss, but many opportunities that we can take a hold of. Please take advantage of that. That will make this feast day a true feast day in your lives. Here's Ani with today's bubbles. She always saves me right in the nick of time. Here's today's spiritual bubbles.
Today's spiritual bubble is a poem called Dear Mothers. I raised him as a good boy, taught him well all through his life. I tried to do the best I could as a mother and a wife. His stepdad was a good man, taught him well in every way, and treated him as his own son until his dying day. He always was a good boy, never even raised his voice, except on some occasions when he really had no choice. He always treated people kindly, treated everybody fair, and if somebody had a problem, he would always care. People always listened to the words he had to say, and they would stay and listen, even late into the day. Everybody loved him, from the rich to the down and out, but there were some who did not want him to go all about. He never did an evil deed, as everybody knows. There were a few who said, "He's always stepping on our toes. This man is speaking blasphemy," said leaders in their quote. "We have the perfect setup here, and he's rocking our boat. If only we could shut him up and go on like it's been. But if he will not shut his mouth, we must get rid of him." So on that Friday night I stood by and watched them kill my son, while others watched and wondered, "What on earth has this boy done?" I raised him as a good boy. He made life so rich and full. And just because he spoke like God, he's called a criminal. A mother loves her children, and she gives the very best. A mother does the best she can, and prays God does the rest. If God blessed you with children, you must give them back to him, and realize deep in your heart that he's in charge of them. In this life there will be times when you don't understand what God is doing, but you know you've done the best you can. On that Friday, it felt like my heart ripped from my chest, but I knew God was in charge, and I had done my best. To be a mother is a blessing that God does bestow, but someday he wants his children back, and I thought that you should know. From Mary. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Beautiful. What can I say? How beautiful was that? Oh, it just touched me. That one was really very special. Thank you, Ani. That was like Mother Mary's words to many mothers. And just drives the point home, right? It's like putting your feet in the shoes of others. This time, put your feet in the shoes of Mother Mary. Beautiful bubble, as all the bubbles are. Thank you, Ani, for doing that. You know, Ani is part of this ministry, a very integral part of this ministry, not only with the bubbles, but being part of the In His Shoes movement. And you know, there's so much room for people to put their feet in the shoes of others. Here's Susie to tell you about, well, the movement and about Apostle In His Shoes. Now that is a nice transition, isn't it? Here's Susie to tell us what you can do to get involved in this process.
Before getting back to the Next Step with Father Vosgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. We thank you for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fourth year of broadcasting, and we're proud to tell you that this voice of Armadoxy is being heard by a worldwide audience. The Next Step is entering homes, workplaces, and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion to a waiting world. We appreciate your responses to this message and always look forward to your words of encouragement. You can address your comments to feedback@epostle.net or via our website at epostle.net. Every week consistently for the past 4 years, we have brought the Next Step to you as a gift. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. You may also mail a check to Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, to 632 West Stalker Street, Glendale, California, 91202. Please be assured that your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, please take a moment to tell your friends about the next step. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, as well as on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. We're excited about this ministry, and we invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, and we will get right back to it. We've got so much to talk about, but need to take that little break every so often to just kind of jar us up, remind us that this becomes possible. You like it? It's an important ministry. You like getting it every Thursday? Well, you get it because there are so many people who are participating. Want you to bring your participation. Some of the biggest things that you can do is just spread the news, get the news out, take this podcast, send a link to someone else, burn it. You know, we got people who burn the MP3 every week and pass it out to friends who might not find it so easy to download. Well, we try to make it as easy as possible. But anyway, Susie gave you the rundown, and I'm here to just second the motion. We need your help. Most importantly, we need your prayers. I want to use the last portion of this podcast to really talk about some of the issues that are associated with St. Mary, and not in the way that you might think. Now, I asked you last week, how do you want to get into the institutional aspect of the church, and to what extent? And the more I thought about it, I'm finding it difficult. I do appreciate your responses, but I'm finding it difficult to get into that because inevitably we're going to have to talk about some real situations that are taking place. And I can't do that at the cost of putting on a back burner some of the big issues that are taking place throughout the world concerning women's rights. And I think right in line with St. Mary, talking about St. Mary, the next step has to be we have to talk about women's rights, women's issues. I mean, there is a song that has really haunted me for many, many years. It is a John Lennon song. It is called "Woman is the Nigger of the World." And to tell you the truth, I did want to read to you some of the lyrics. I thought of first playing it for you, and I thought of then reading some of the lyrics. I just can't. I can't. It is really hurtful. It is hurtful because you realize that what we have done to women throughout the world. I mean, there are so many real issues that are hitting women today. I mean, you talk about prostitution and trafficking as some of the more obvious, how we've taken women and given them this very special status of being able to serve the man in a very unique way. Talk about violence and abuse, about sexual abuse, about physical abuse. We look at the way Islam treats women, and we say, well, it's of their free choice, and we wonder how free are they. We talked about Jeffs a few minutes ago, Warren Jeffs, and the ability for a man to have how many wives. Where is this written? Where is this heard of? Except in prehistoric, let's say in primitive times, hedonistic times. We talk about reproductive rights, about sexuality. But something came up just a couple weeks ago. And like I said, I don't want to get into what John Lennon wrote because it is really painful. But then here's this reality that hits us. Did you catch that story that came out of London? Julia Roberts. If you didn't, we'll make sure we put a line in our show notes, a link to it. Julia Roberts was airbrushed in an ad. Now, here's arguably one of the most beautiful women in the world. And they had her in an ad for something. And L'Oreal, I believe. And they had airbrushed her. They found the need to make her even more pretty, unrealistic. And look what we're doing. We're raising generations of people who believe that there are certain archetypes, certain types that are classified as beautiful, and if you're not in that type, you're not really beautiful. and we're talking about self-image, self-worth, and then when they end up with all kinds of problems, sitting on a psychiatrist's couch and wondering what went wrong, when they shoot up their family and friends, you say, what happened? You don't even think for a moment that look what we've done through the years in bringing up these people. And this one article really caught my eye. Julia Roberts' airbrush ad banned by Watchdog. It says cosmetics giant L'Oreal has had two ads banned by the advertising watchdog after it was accused of misleading the public with excessive airbrushing. Airbrushing creates a false sense of beauty, said Liberal Democrat Joe Swinson, who brought the complaints. And there are concerns that it puts pressure on women and young girls who compare themselves unfavorably to the unrealistic image. Now, I had to bring this up because, you know, when we talk about the entire church and we talk about the institution and everything, those are important. There's very important issues going on within the institution of the church. But still, we get down to a very basic storyline of love and compassion. We talk about Saint Mary saying yes to God, and she's sort of like thrown in the back as part of history rather than being a contemporary of ours. That's why I went to such great pains today to really bring that story home by saying it is not just a 2,000-year-old history that we're learning in Saint Mary, but Saint Mary's story is a story for all of us of making Christ real today, of making love real today. And this has nothing to do with image. It has to do with internal, the beauty that you have within your heart. External beauty is secondary only to that beauty that comes from within. And when I saw this story, I said that, you know, we've got to really, as a church, we've really got to focus in on what is important, those small steps that we need to be taking. I mean, we have such a beautiful image of mothers. We talk about them as being so precious. When we realize that, you know, in the world there are some bad mothers. In the world there are some mothers who really don't care about their children the way that the archetype is over there. We see them daily in the news and we wonder. We say, well, what is all this talk about motherhood? Saint Mary gives us a glimpse of what the ideal is. And in looking at that ideal, we can now start beginning to pattern our lives of how we can be the ambassadors of love, how we can be the Theotokos, we can be the one who bears God, the Astvazadzin. And so when we talk about institution, that's fine and dandy, but more important is the story that comes out of that institution, the mission of the church. And the mission is to make us realize that we are all children of God, that we are created with the special, very special and unique ability to rise from our humanity and walk with God, to be one with God. Now, if you're with me there, I'm going to continue this next week. We're going to go in some very special directions that you want, that you've been writing to me about. But I did need to do this as a prelude to the story of Astvazadzin. Next week, we celebrate the Assumption. This is the week of preparation for the Assumption. And I know it's a little bit different from most next steps that we do take. But I did want to give you this little background. I wanted to challenge you to really look within your own means, within the people around you, and how you can be that ambassador of love, the ambassador of Christ around you and in the lives that you touch. When we get back next week, we will just pick up right from there. And we'll shoot it out in a new direction. We'll take a next step next week, okay? I hope you're on board with me today. That's it for today. I want to thank you for joining us today. I want to thank the wonderful crew who's been putting this together. Susie, our producer, who just, I don't know how she does it. Susie, thank you so much. And Ken, our engineer, Ani with her bubbles. I want to invite you all to get on our website. We are at epostle.net, where you can find this podcast and every podcast we've done since the beginning of time. Get on our mothership, inissues.org. A lot of stuff going on. We invite you to be part of it. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.